Welcome back to Season 5 of Kin Folklore, where we have gone through a portal and returned to the world of His Dark Materials for Season 2 of the BBC HBO series based on the novels of Philip Pullman.
In this episode, we'll be covering all of the demon-changing and world-exploring action of Season 2, Episode 1, entitled The City of Magpies. We'll summarize the episodes, talk a bit about our observations, and discuss some of the themes, and look through the Amber Spyglass for some background.
Showers are like baths, except standing up. I'll just go ahead and leave this soap here in case you want to change your mind about this adult content. Because, you know one thing, you don't have to check the Elite Theometer for, Andrea?
What's
whether
that?
We're going to have adult content. You know why? Because, you know, we're fine as we are. Mm-hmm. We're fine as I am.
We do
you
a
know?
Little smell test.
We do a little smell test.
We're fine.
Little... Lyra, oh my gosh. Good old silver tongue.
So to start out the summary of the episode, which is organized by story arc, we start with the witches. The show begins with a voiceover from Serafina Pekkala, who I missed dearly.
I did.
Who is calling a council of the witches together in order to discuss the consequences of Azrael's actions from last season. And also of Lyra's disappearance. Lee Scoresby decides he's going to join the council as well. He's in search of Grumman and the object that
could be Grumman.
Or maybe we should say Grumman. They do say Grumman on the show.
I know they do. But didn't they say Grumman last time? Last season they said Grumman. Now they're saying Grumman. All right, cool. This is the remix. All right, go ahead. You know, I just want to say just real quickly that they're discussing all these actions by Azrael, like that have to do with the opening of the world, but you know what? I'm pretty irritated still. Season one, early on, that they've moved off of Roger. Like, nobody's talking about the implications of killing a child. They're talking about, oh, well, he's opened up worlds, the many worlds.
I mean, Roger is one person and there's a hole in the sky. So I can kind of understand.
That's tough.
I can kind of understand their point of view.
Yeah, I hear it. I hear you. But I just was shocked. I was like, man, nobody's even mentioning this poor kid. He's like, he's a murderer. Like, this guy's, anyway.
Yeah, Azrael is trash.
Trash. Oh, God.
So while Serafina is addressing the other witches, the queen of Lake Lubana, the Lake Lubana clan, arrives and implores the witches to join the fight against the Magisterium. And Rudiscati came in hard. Like, she's like, listen, the Magisterium is not going to get away with this.
Yeah.
She also tells him that they have captured one of their sisters, Katja Sirka. So she wants to go rescue her.
Yeah. And, you know, Rudiscati, like you said, came in hot. And her demon, like Serafina's demons, all like, man, she's Rudiscati's really upset. And her demon's like, everyone should be upset. What do you have here?
That's the kind of energy I want.
Yeah, exactly. She's out here being soft. So we move to the Magisterium, where they're doing Magisterium shit, like the same kind of shit they always do. At the start of this episode, the Magisterium is, you know, they're doing creepy fascist-like things, planning on gaslighting everyone about the giant tear in the sky. They're like, it's heresy. And this time,
just to mention that it's there is heresy.
Yeah. He just mentions like heresy. He's like, well, it's hardly heresy. There's a fucking hole in the sky, dude. Like, it's not heretical anymore. It's not, get out of here. Getting together their military might, and they're going to capture the innocent witches, right? They're going to just go ahead and round them up. Try to put this thing to bed, cover it up. Cardinal Sturrock gives Mrs. Coulter permission, right? After she does her Mrs. Coulter thing, like, all I see in this room is failure.
It was so savage.
Savage.
And then she named them each.
all their failures, all their fucking failures.
I felt so bad for Fra Pavel because she's like, you can't even read the alethiometer.
Fucking little kid is reading it better than you in a couple of weeks.
He's like, I spent my whole life learning how to learn this, learning how to read this thing, and this woman is just like, you're not good.
Get this alethiometer guide, you know, Alethiometer for Dummies by Lyra Belacqua. All right, she's written it for you because you obviously don't know what you're doing.
I missed her. Oh, Culty.
So good. Culty's the best. The best. So Father McPhail is out here. He's feeling a little bit of a way because he took that two-piece spicy to the dome end of last season. He got caught off guard. He's like, hey, we don't even know whose side you're on. We are not sure about your role in all of this. And to which she's like, you know what? Sit down. Let me tell you how this is going to go. Just give me a little bit of time. If I don't get it done, do your worst. You know, when she's doubling down on her own abilities like that, you gotta love Culty. She's very confident in this moment. So mm-hmm. She begins to torture Katya by removing bits of her cloud pine. Unable to take the torture anymore, Katya cries out for Yamba Akka, to which Ruta Scotti, who is on her way to rescue Katya, hears this cry and arrives just in time to take the witch's life. And basically, she just fucks up the whole magisterium. Like
everybody,
okay? Like it's no, and in the process of like getting everybody right, she wounds Cardinal Sturrock in the process. She just stabs that dude in the chest. Like she's fucking everybody up, bah, 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 and then knows where he's at as he comes up. Oh, what is going on? Bow, right to the chest. So he's going down. Later, as he's laying on his deathbed, as only Culty could do, he's like gripping to his last bits of life. She convinces Father McPhail that maybe it's time, you know, just murk this motherfucker, you know?
she really does. She's not even smooth about it. She's like, listen, he gotta go.
He's out here talking about heresy. He's saying that you're a liar, trying to cover things up. We need to get rid of this dude. And what would be better than you, who's a strong leader? She's up there, you know, pumping him up already, right? So she does. And then, you know, he thinks about whether or not he's going to take over the leadership of the magisterium.
Mm-hmm. So now to our favorites, Lyra and Will.
Yeah, those kids.
After what seems like days walking through the forest, Lyra and Pan finally arrive at the city in the sky that Asriel showed them last season. They find the city pretty much abandoned and go into a cafe looking for food, where they encounter Will, who Lyra greets in the same manner that her father greeted her in the first episode of
last season.
His family
enjoys an armbar. What the fuck?
Just put this poor young man's face into the table. I mean, the savagery.
It's bad.
At Pan's urging, Lyra agrees to team up with Will, who is shook when Pan first speaks. Which
what did
is
you mean?
Understandable. I would be like, wait, what?
How does he talk? Like, did I suddenly enter a Disney movie? What the fuck is going on? It's good questions. Good questions.
So the two of them see some other children in the city. And when they speak to these children, they learn that they're in the city of Chittagazi, which is mostly abandoned because the adults have fled the specters.
You know anything about the specters? The specters have come and they're going to get us. And wait a minute. Is that freaking who I think it is?
It is.
Oh my God. She's back, Lady Mormont in the building.
As soon as I saw her, I was like, this either means trouble or they have a new good ally.
Exactly. Exactly. She's like, they know no other king but the king in the north. We're going to fuck these specters up. Let's go. I love it.
Are you surprised that she's running her whole city by herself?
I'm not. She held out everything, you know, like she answered the call. That's all we want to know. Good.
So these kids tell them that the specters only attack adults. And the girls warn Will that he's near the change, which, you know, we have to assume is puberty. Mm-hmm. And that soon he could also become prey to the specters.
Damn.
Lyra and Will get to know each other a bit over the next few days with some, like, awkward roommates. Next day...
she just moves in. He's like, there's a whole fucking city. Why do you have to move into my building? Like, I was like, we should work together. And she's like, yeah, you're right. I should just come in and just, like, live with you. And that's what it is.
It's she just takes his bed.
Yeah.
I was like, this girl has no manners at all.
At all.
The following day, they go exploring and they actually come across one of these adults who has been attacked by the specters. And as the girls told them, they take your inside out and everything that makes you human. This guy has no soul, essentially. Yeah. He's still alive, technically, but he doesn't see them. He doesn't really react. He's kind of stuck in that moment when the specters got him.
But it looks a lot like what we saw people look like in Balvanger, right? Like to me, when you look at this guy, it's like, oh, that's weird. Like that's the first thing I thought of, was like a zombie-esque kind of like thing, but also like how we saw the kids who had their demons taken. That's what I first thought of.
Yeah, yeah. He does. It is sort of like that. But I would say even maybe more mm-hmm. soulless than the kids, right?
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
But yes, it's very simple. So they hear the same girls along with some other children attacking a cat. They run to rescue it. Will is very brave, but you know, he's outnumbered. And finally, Pan turns into a very large animal and scares the kids off.
Boss shit. Finally, Pan. Pan is not shook right now. He's not shook.
No. Pan decides that he's going to finally do something useful. I love
so
Pan,
good.
But Pan doesn't always turn into what we need him to in the moment.
Actually, Pan, but you know what though? I'm normally we're dunking on Pan quite a bit, but Pan actually had a great episode. Like that flesh
really
was great.
Did.
But then earlier, like he was like really convincing her, yo, you got to work with Will. Like you got, like he, you got to like, come on. Like this is not, you can't be out here by yourself. And it was just like, he's doing a good job.
Pan is great in this episode in terms of guiding her, which is what that's what he's there for.
Mm-hmm.
So he does a good job of doing that. So that night, as specters roam the city, Lyra and Will figure out that they both have Oxfords in their worlds. And Lyra wants to go to Will's Oxford. And she convinces him to take her there.
Mm.
Later, she finally consults the alethiometer after Pan's been asking her to do this a whole episode because she needs to learn more about Will. And Will starts to read his father's letters that his mother was keeping mm-hmm. all this time. The alethiometer tells Lyra that Will is a murderer.
But the good
kind. But he's
kind.
The good kind of murderer.
What a crazy line. I'm listening to Lyra. I'm like, yo, you're sick in the head. Mrs. Coulter is definitely your mom's. Like, it's definitely happening. She's like, he's a good type of murderer. Like, Yurik.
Would we really call Yurik a murderer?
Not at all. Like, that's what I'm saying.
He was, yes, they fought to the death, but, like, that was their tradition. Like, that's how you become the king. Like,
exactly.
Anyway, this was a wild way to end the episode, but that's how it ends, with like a specter kind of creeping up on Will and Lyra saying he's a good kind of murderer.
He's the good kind. He's a murderer, but the good kind. Oh man.
So what did you think of this episode?
I liked it. I definitely liked it. I thought it was a good kind of you know, it set the table for the season, right? It's like, mm-hmm. it's not like, it wasn't giving you too much. We needed to get Will and Lyra together. We needed to see some of the things that we're going to talk about in this episode. Like, we needed to show up into the new world. We needed to see what was happening with the Magisterium. It's very interesting that Boreal nor Asriel are in this episode, right? They're gone. They're not present at all. So I wonder what they're doing off screen. But I did. I liked it. I thought it was really, really cool.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was a good first episode to set up, to get us back into the story,
mm-hmm.
and also to build some mysteries. Can we just talk about, though, some of your girl Lyra had some rough moments?
Well, we know, don't eat a fucking omelet from Lyra Silvertongue, okay? Like, yuck. That was like one of the, I couldn't believe that she just was like, yeah, let me throw these shells in. And then she drops one and she mushes it down into the floor.
Ugh. Also, the, so in your world, you're a kitchen boy?
Oh my God.
And Will is like, no, but like, what?
Yeah, I know. Oh, that's also, it. When you're stuck with me.
Yes. When she tells him he's stuck, he's like, no, I'm not.
No, I'm not. I'm legitimately not.
I really could just leave you and go back to my world.
I got a cat and a portal. I can go the fuck out of here. Exactly.
We really do need to talk about this whole shower thing.
It's tough.
I mean, okay. So if my demon was telling me that I needed a shower. That I did not need to consult the alethiometer to find out if I need to bathe, I would take that to heart, because that's me. As she tells Will, when she's explaining what a demon is, he is me and I am him.
Yeah.
That means you can smell yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And let's keep in mind that she hasn't bathed since last time we've seen Lyra bathe was when she was at the spot where she was staying with Adriel before he tricked Roger and took him over there to kill him. So, like, that's a long, long time. That's a minute.
Yeah, and she slept in the forest for days. She says it's a couple of days.
Longest fucking rainforest sequence ever in the beginning of a series, yes. I mean, she went through the rainforest like mad long. It was crazy. I was like, man, is there a rainforest cafe here? I'm getting hungry. Like, what are we going to do?
Yeah, it was crazy. And Lyra had some great, great moments in this episode. Yeah. And I will also say that it was notable to me that Mrs. Coulter had some really horrifying moments in this episode. So is people who've listened to us before know we deeply like what the show has done with Mrs. Coulter's character in terms of making her a full person whose motivations seem pretty transparent. And we also really like, you know, the acting. Ruth Wilson is a very talented actress.
Great.
But if you forgot that this woman was incredibly cruel, let's say you did a rewatch before this season and you saw that final scene where she decides to stay in the world to find Lyra, and you were feeling empathy for her, this show stripped it all away in this episode. She actually tortured this witch in a way that was incredibly cruel by removing pieces of cloud pine that are in her under her skin.
All right, but let's talk about this for a second. All right, let's just talk about this just for a minute. I'm with you. I am 100% with you. And she's under the thumb of the Magisterium, so she does have to do this. Like, it's not like, you know, she can get away from doing... Well, she didn't need to torture her, but she did
need... She volunteered... I'm not going to let you do this to yourself. I'm not going to... The tough takes. I'm not going to let you do this to yourself. She volunteered.
I know she did. Yes, she did. She totally volunteered. And that's what makes her trash. That's what makes her, that's what makes it like, wow, I can't believe you did that. But I do think that, like, part of this story, what part of what the story is trying to tell is the overarching oppression of the Magisterium, of which she is a victim of, which we talked about last season, that she's a victim of and also a participant in. That's all I'm trying to say.
Okay, I'm going to let you stand out on that ledge on your own.
Okay.
She was awful. She was terrible. I have nothing to say about her. That she volunteered to torture this woman. And she didn't have to.
Agreed.
And she didn't have to be so cruel about it.
Agreed.
But we should note some of the questions that she asked the witches, which was really it was a good way to see how much Mrs. Coulter knows and understands.
I agree with that.
So she asked her if the witches can travel between worlds, what they told Azrael he would find.
I knew he has a witch girlfriend. And what they know.
She really did bring up, I heard he dated a witch.
He dated a witch.
And what do they know about Lyra? Which to me, still speaks to the fact that Mrs. Coulter is operating with a lot less information than many of the other characters.
Yeah, 100%.
Certainly, Asriel seems to have more information, and so does Lyra at this point.
And so does Boreo. Like, Boreo knows more about what's going on, to be completely honest, because he knows, we'll talk about it more, but he knows about the tower, he knows about Will, he knows what else is going on from the other world, so he's more dialed in.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of talked about that the fact that the Will and Lyra meeting, and I think one of the things that I like about this, and we talked about this first episode, and we don't know where they're going to go with it, but if you compare it to the books, Will is a lot nicer to Lyra in this portrayal of the story than is in the books. I mean, in the books, Will is pretty harsh when they first meet up, and not, you almost are like, dang, you're going a little too hard, bro. Like, you need to calm down. So I really like that they reworked it a little bit to make it where it feels a little bit more of a natural kind of way. And it tracks more with who we've known Will to be in the show so far, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, I think I like it a lot because when you're reading the books, you don't know who Will is.
Mm-hmm.
He's just this bossy little boy who's telling Lyra what to do and is quite rude about it. But because we know him and we know that Will is very responsible, this softer approach just seems better to me. It didn't get me as annoyed with him right away as I was in The Subtle Knife, the book.
Yeah, no, for real, definitely. So why don't we go ahead, speaking of these items that they come across in their journeys, why don't we take a look through the Amber Spyglass and give a little more context on some of the things that are happening in this episode?
All right. So this was not our first introduction to the witches. We've met Serafina Pecola before. She was in season one. Mm-hmm. And this time we met more witches. And we also met Ruta Scotti, who is going to play a major role. So in his Dark Materials, in this world, all the witches are women. There are no male witches in Lyra's world. Mm-hmm. They can, as we know from last season, have children with human men, as Serafina Pecola and Fader Coram did. If those children are born as boys, they're human. If they're born as girls, they're witches. Witches also live in clans and age very slowly. Mm-hmm. So this was something that I had actually kind of forgotten about, that they lived in clans, because I had read the books 10 years ago, and I was kind of like, I don't remember, like, I thought Serafina was the queen of all witches, mm-hmm. but the witches actually live in these clan communities, which have, like, loose boundaries to, you know, location and land, but also there's some stuff about season changes and stuff like that. Serafina Pecola is between 250 and 300 years old. Ruta Scotti, however, is much older than her. She's about 100 or 150 years older than her. Mm. And they appear young their whole lifespan. So witches age extremely slowly and apparently never appear to be old. So I want to talk a little bit about the witches in the book versus, like, what we've seen on screen, because I do see some differences here. So in the books, they have a few known powers. Like, they can fly. They use cloud pine to fly. They can control the weather somewhat. Very localized. Like, they can make it a little bit more windy or make it rain. They have some healing powers. And we know from last season that they have demons as well. Their demons are always birds. They always settle as birds. And they can travel quite far from them, as we saw Kaisa do in season one. Their religion is that they worship at least one deity that we're aware of. Yamba Akka, that's who the witch called out to when she was being tortured, the goddess of death, who is based on a spirit from mythology in Norway, Finland, and Sweden. One big difference that I noticed in the change from the book, and maybe I would love for a reader to who's read the books and a listener of the show to correct me if this is wrong, but I could not find a passage that described Cloud Pine as the way it was depicted on this show. So the Cloud Pine is actually like part of the witch's body.
Yeah, I never saw the way that they talk about it in the book. I didn't hear that either, which is why it was surprising to me that they would be able to pick the Cloud Pine out of her skin. Like I was surprised too. That was
right. And so in the books, the witches ride on Cloud Pine, and in the show, we haven't seen that. We mm-hmm. see that Serafina can fly, and we've seen Rudaskati fly, but they're not riding on Cloud Pine. So my guess is the show change it so that the Cloud Pine is actually physically part of them. So maybe there's a passage I missed. I haven't read like the prequel. There's parts of this world that I haven't experienced yet. So if someone can point me to that passage, I would love to see it. But I was quite surprised by this what I believe to be a change.
Yeah, it seemed like a change, and you know, not a bad change. I mean, like it does raise the stakes. I mean, also in like a big departure from the book content is that, you know, they chose, instead of Serafina Pecola being the one who saves the witch being tortured, it ends up being Rudaskati, which is a change, right? Like mm-hmm, that was mm-hmm. Rudaskati shows up at the witch's council the same way in the book, but she shows up after like this scene of the torture is happening. So they found a way to intertwine that into it together, which I thought was really interesting, and to really give us an introduction to Rudaskati that is like mm-hmm. okay, she, you know, she came to slay.
Games, and I loved that like using their demons as a proxy between the two of them, because Serafina didn't actually push back that much against Rudaskati, but mm-hmm. Kaisa was like, bring it down a notch. Like, do you know how powerful the Magisterium is?
Yeah.
So I thought that was very well done. So that's the witches. That's what the difference between the witches in the show and the books, but also just like a little bit more background. We obviously haven't seen them use some of their powers yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. And you know, also talking about things that we want to like talk about in this world. Well, how could we not talk about Chittagatsi? Chittagatsi is a central part of this portion of the story, and it is the city in the sky that we saw during last season, which appeared only through the Aurora Borealis. You may remember it when Azrael was giving his speech at Jordan College.
Heresy.
And then in a slideshow, the PowerPoint presentation that he did about dust. And then you may also remember it when Lyra was out and they were traveling and she was able to look and see the city through the Aurora Borealis also. So what Chittagatsi means is it actually is the title of this episode, the City of Magpies. That is the meaning of the name Chittagatsi. And it's the bridge between Lyra and Will's worlds. The two of the key aspects of this world are the specters and the tower. The tower is what really makes a distinction in the world, where you could see it and look at it and see the city on the hill and see the tower as the main thing that gives it like the city its definition. The tower was referenced also by Boreal when he's talking to Fra Pavel in season one. And Fra Pavel states, "There is a knife in a tower surrounded by angels," to which Boreal replies, "And this knife, the boy will lead us to it." So he's speaking about Will already knowing, going, you know, Boreal going between these two worlds, saying, well, you know, Will, he's anticipating will lead them to this tower. And he's talking about this knife that's in the tower that he would like to obtain. While we don't know what will happen with Will in this tower totally, we kind of know that these kind of themes have been introduced, but we don't totally know in the show how it's going to play out. It's clear that the tower plays a really big role, And what's also clear is that the specters play a big role in how this land has come to be the way it is in this time where Lyra and Will show up and arrive in it. Basically, the specter's presence in the world has made it where the world feels abandoned. And they've always existed in this world from what we understand. But it really has gotten, this state that the world is in has gotten a lot worse since Azrael did what he did in opening up this portal. And what we know so far is that the specters really, they take the soul and the spirit of anyone who's reached puberty, is what we're saying. And only the inhabitants that are children are free to roam the world of Chittagatsi. So all children, that's why all we're going to see running around in this empty village that looks like, you know, the pretty cool, like, Tuscan kind of like backdrop. You know, like you might have been able to get a good, like, you know, meal there when it was really popping and, you know, people weren't getting chased by specters. But right now it's empty and only the kids are around making bad omelets.
Yeah, I'm excited to see where they take this, because this is one of the big stories of the Subtle Knife.
Yeah.
The history of the city and what it means to the major story. So I'm excited about that.
Yep. I love it.
So the main theme of this episode was really alliances.
Yeah.
We're seeing all of these possible alliances forming, right? So we have Mrs. Coulter and Father MacPhail, Lee Scoresby and the Witch Clans. Also in that is Serafina and Ruta. And most importantly, Lyra and Will.
Yeah.
You know, alliances form when a war is pending. And we're not quite sure that we're on the verge of war here, but all the main players seem to understand they can't do it alone. Some of these alliances are starting out on pretty shaky ground. Mrs. Coulter and Father MacPhail do not like each other, do not trust each other. And their entire alliance is based on, you know, their deception and mistrust of each other.
Yep.
Lyra and Will's alliance also seems very fragile. They're both basically alone in this world. They only have each other. You know, I feel like they were pretty honest with each other. I was a little surprised at how honest they were from the beginning.
I agree.
But they have different approaches, as we saw to life.
Very.
Lyra is extremely impulsive, and I loved when Will was like, can you slow down? And she's like, I'm always moving.
Yeah.
Will is a lot more thoughtful and he spends more time thinking through like what the implications of his actions were going to be. So, you know, they have very strong personalities. They're very individualistic. They're both used to going it alone. So it will be interesting to see how this relationship develops through this season.
Yeah, and I love that they got right to it, right? Because, you know, I questioned why they were rolling certain aspects of the Subtle Knife into season one, right? Because I was like, man, why are you doing this? But what it allowed was to be able to get right to it, because, you know, in the Subtle Knife in the book, it starts out and you're just, you know, you're with Will. You don't really get a lot of Lyra in the beginning. You're getting to know Will. You're getting to understand who he is, how everything came to be, how he even ends up in Chittagatsi. And so, like, you know, it was actually interesting to me because I was like, man, what kind of choice is that to start off this new book that leaving it where Roger had just died and Lyra decides to go through a portal to start off this new book with, like, you know, Will, this character that I don't even know who he is and why, you know? You should read it. It's really interesting to look at it. But I do like that they did this.
I totally agree with you. That first, so basically they sprinkled the first chapter of the Subtle Knife all through season one. And we were questioning it at the time, but it seems like it was effective.
Very effective, because we know Will now. Like when we see him in this first episode, we're like, okay, yeah, we know Lyra, we know her story, but we also know Will. And so it feels like, for me, as a person watching it, I trusted him already. There wasn't kind of like a, oh, what's he up to? Is he like, you know, which I thought was good because I thought that Lyra kind of, Pan actually trusts Will intuitively pretty early, right? Mm-hmm. He's like, Will is trustworthy, I can tell. Lyra's still questioning it because I think Lyra's questioning other things. She's like, you know, I mean, all of her guy friends up to this point have been, you know, not as cute as Jimmy Brooks. I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, they were cool, but, you know, it's wheelchair Jimmy. He's out here doing his thing. I am a fan of how this all went down. I think that alliance is going to play out really well. I actually think that one of the alliances that I'm really interested in are the witches and Lee, and to that, to drill down on it, are, you know, Ruta Scotti and Serafina Pecola. I think that their connection is going to be, you know, it's going to be key in the storytelling, but I also think they have different philosophies about how to approach it. So, I mean, because Serafina, I think that's what they try to introduce with this. In the book, it's different, but it's different for a different reason. It's very much around Asriel. And I don't know what they'll do with that in the show. But I think what I like is that they very clearly in the beginning show, yes, we're all, you know, together, but we each have autonomy to make our choices about how we see about fighting the first portions of this war that's coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think here we're seeing all these alliances taking shape, and the people involved in them are very different and have different approaches.
Yeah.
I think that would be interesting to watch, because I think in some cases the alliances will become much stronger, and then in others they will lead to challenges. So I thought that the way that this episode was put together, kind of building the groundwork of here's who the main allies are, mm-hmm. was very interesting, especially since last season they didn't really introduce it. Boreal and Mrs. Coulter were allies right away. Mm-hmm. They kind of eased us into that. We met them both independently, and then we realized that they were working together. So I thought this was well done.
I agree. And I think some questions as an audience we probably want to ask is, and that I'm asking at the end of this episode, if I don't know where the story goes, right? As I'm asking, like, well, where is Asriel? He went through the portal. All of a sudden, we come to this abandoned place. We realize that now there's not only this abandoned place of Chittagatse, but we also realize that there's Will's world. So now Lyra's realizing there's my world, there's this world, you know, the city of magpies, and then there's this other world now where there's an Oxford that this guy is telling me about that I just met. So now that leaves me with three different worlds so far in a multiverse. Where is Asriel, right? Like, so that's a question as the audience I'd be asking if you're just watching the show. And if you're Lyra, I think you're asking that. I came through this portal trying to figure out more about Dust, and maybe the answer is over in Will's world, but where the heck is the guy I followed through this portal? He's gone.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering where my boy Boreal is, because you know.
I bet you are.
I just want to lay eyes on him, make sure everything's okay, yeah. See what he's up to.
Yeah, you know.
But I'm also curious about Boreal because, as we know, he can move between Lyra's world and Will's world, which I think is very interesting because we have yet to see him in Chittagatse, right?
Yeah.
And they both, when they went through the portal, they ended up here. So does Boreal know something about this place? We always just see him pass from Lyra's world into Will's world and vice versa.
Yeah, you would think that that makes sense, right? Because if I was Boreal and I am aware that perhaps there is a place, but that place isn't so friendly to people who are grown, like grown-ups, like I may try to avoid it, you know? So maybe maybe that's, you know, I can't imagine with his knowledge that he doesn't understand that there's another place that they could go, but he definitely...
I mean, we know he knows about the city because he, when he was jamming up Frog Pebble.
Exactly.
he definitely knew that this the tower existed. I'm just curious why we haven't seen him here yet, but
yeah,
I guess we'll get that answer.
Yeah, I would assume it's just because he's, you know, he's not a kid. You know, kids seem to be.
He's like, yeah, I'm not going there. I'm gonna find my ways to the other world some other place. Yeah. He's looking around. He's like, they don't even have iPhones here. What's going on?
Yo, this guy, you know, there's nobody here to boot up my car. I don't know what's going on. I need new things. So yeah, no, I like it. So what did you question? What did you like, and what do you want to see more of?
I mean, I guess my main question for this episode was about what the witches... They kind of left the witch situation unresolved, right?
Yeah.
Ruta, Scotty, and Serafina have this, like, back and forth. And then the next thing we see is Ruta heading towards the Magisterium. So I'm kind of curious to see how that... If that alliance takes fruition, how it plays out. I would like to see more Boreal, as I said. Mm-hmm. And I guess in the thing that I still have a lot of questions about these changes from the books.
Yeah.
Why are some of them being made? I'm going to give them a little bit of leeway since it was the first episode. But in last season, this is where I felt like the show got a little off track.
Yeah.
When they made changes from the books just to make the change. So some of those changes have been good and we liked them. I as we said, like introducing Will, you know, earlier in the story, mm-hmm. introducing Boreal, like those things were like having Boreal go between worlds, which was shocking mm-hmm. to me, to anyone who was watching it who had read the book. But like, I liked that they did that. It kind of set some of the world ground rules. But then there were other things that they did that just didn't make sense. Like some of the stuff around Lee Scoresby's motivation. Like there were just some things that wasn't crazy. They kind of sidelined the witches mm-hmm. towards the end. So I'm hoping that the changes that they've made this season enhance rather than create confusion. Because there's some very... The story's a little complicated and there's some changes that if you make them, you can throw the rest of the story off track. And we kind of saw that happening in the middle of last season. And then they brought it back in with the finale.
Well, the first scene in this season of the witches, where the witches are, let me know that the showrunners, maybe you guys have been listening to some of your fans. But one of the major criticisms that I had, that you had, that a lot of people who I talked to that loved the books and loved the story had, was that Bolvanger should not have just been Serafina Pecola showing up, like just wrecking everybody at, you know, in Bolvanger. That there was a major battle and all the clans of the witches showed up and there's a whole thing that they did and they actually helped to save you know, Lyra, and
they helped them escape. Yeah, like Lee wouldn't have been able to get away
without the witches,
with Roger and Lyra, if not for the witches.
Exactly. So it felt very strange to not see them honor that portion of the story. But then now we have the clans in the beginning, so I'm thinking, okay, well maybe they're gonna lean into this thing of the witches and the magic that's going to happen and the other things that make this story really interesting and complex. This kind of tension between this, like, very, you know, the Magisterium being like an authoritarian church type figure, where there's also like this other side that's like very much into the mystical arts, and how that is having its tension within that, but also they're also connected to the same kind of spiritual realities. So I think it's really interesting, and I wonder if they're going to lean into that a little bit more in this season.
Yeah, I hope so. I think I'm optimistic with the casting of Ruta Scotty. The way that they brought her into the story is a major player. And, you know, we lost some of our warriors, mm-hmm. right, that were on Lyra's side. So I'm hoping that she's going to take up the like, warrior mantle here.
Yeah. So, like, that's what I want to see more of. I want to see more of the witches. I want to, I question how they're going to deal with, the journey of Lee Scoresby in this season. I really want to see mm-hmm. how that's going to play out. I really do. Mm-hmm. Because that was, he was there, but they just kind of hinted at him a little bit. Hester got a couple of digs in. But that's a pretty big thing for him to go. But like, he's essentially fulfilling the portion of the mission that they had last. He came on as like an extra add-on to the mission of the Egyptians and Fa Decorum and all of those people, everyone there, John Fa. And now he's like, I believe in what Lyra, like, you know, with the urging of Serafina Pecula, I believe in Lyra and making sure she's safe. And I love her enough that I'm going to pursue this and make sure that she's okay. And that's huge because he wasn't there for that. He was not thinking about any of that when we ran into him. So I'm interested in how that plays out.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. I think it's important that they made him heavily featured in this first episode. Like, there's really not that much reason for him to be there. Yeah. And that the witch, I mean, in the book he is at the witch's council, but like, I think that they're clearly gonna feature his journey probably as much as Lyra and Will's. Yeah. So that excites me, not just because I love Lin-Manuel, but also just because his story is interesting.
Yeah. No, 100%. I like Lee's story is very interesting, and you know, it's also really, really interesting to me to see how they deal with my girl Colty. You know, because she is not really featured in the book that heavily I mean, she's in the book, but she's not heavily featured in The Subtle Knife. And because they're telling other portions of this story that deepen the experience. So I'm really interested in how they work her in, because she's such a captivating character in the story and on screen in this particular telling of the story that I'm really interested in seeing where they go with that.
Yeah. I mean, I think she's one of the best things to come out of this adaptation, yeah, to be honest.
100%. So who do you think, if you had to pick one person that you think did really bossed up in this episode, who would it be?
I think Lyra.
Really? Explain. Do tell. I'm surprised by that one.
She just runs straight into anything, even if it's a wall.
Yeah.
She's incredibly brave. So she just got to this new world. She just meets this kid. She's just suffered an incredible loss. And she's already on to the next world. Can you take me to your world?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think that she... There are other people who... Yeah, I'm going to leave it there. I think Lyra just, like, she always fascinates me with how curious and brave she is, and she doesn't seem to worry about her own safety, like, at all.
Well, she is on your team, Avatar, so I'm okay with that. You did pick her last week on your team, Avatar, which apparently, according to the fandom, my team did not hold up so strongly. It's okay. It's all right. I mean, we just had two dragons and an armored bear. It's not, I mean, that's fine.
Right, but I had Yen in Avatar Kyoshi, so...
Yeah.
What?
I mean, I'm not going to argue. I mean, they're both two of my favorites, so I'm not going to argue with that. I'm just saying, damn it, the flip of the coin. So I'm actually picking the same person, but differently. I'm not picking. I was surprised by Lyra as your choice, because my choice, honestly, was Pan. But it's the same person. They're just, you know, mm-hmm. like honestly, like I just feel that there's immense growth for both of them in this episode. Based on what you said, I hear your points, but I just thought Pan, from the very moment that we saw Lyra, was waking Lyra up, was guiding her and comforting her. Listen, I miss Roger too. You know, we're gonna be okay. Hey, this is a good person for you to like start to build an alliance with. You know, standing up.
And he's not afraid of the alethiometer the way that she is,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. That's fair. I don't really think of Pan as a person in that way, but you're totally right. Like, Pan had a really good episode.
Yeah, Pan had a great episode, and I think, you know, Lyra and Pan are the same person. You know, like, let's call it what it is. You know, so that is what I had with it. But yeah, no, great episode, great first episode. We're so happy to be covering this story again. Man, I missed these guys. Like,
I did too. I had forgotten how much I enjoy this
program, yeah,
to be honest. So I'm glad it's back. We needed it. Yeah,
totally. Totally. And if you get a chance, go ahead and check out some of the coverage of the other shows. If you've only listened to our His Dark Materials coverage, go ahead and check out some of the coverage of Avatar: The Last Airbender, The Witcher. We did a mini season on Lovecraft Country. And we've had some, you know, one-off episodes for some special tributes and things like that. And of course, our anniversary episode from last week. We appreciate it. We appreciate all the love. We are having a really great time already watching the show. And get in touch with us. Hit us up at Kin Folklore Pod, on either Twitter or Instagram, Facebook. And also just, you know, send us an email, kinfolklore@gmail.com. And thanks again for listening. And we'll be back next week.
All right. Thanks, everyone. See you next week.